Welcome to the Round 12 Supercoach Coach Podcast. I'm Marcus and I'm joined again this week by FB Donkey.
Thanks for having me, mate. Excited to be back. Good week for me.
Yep, and good week for the buys that are upcoming in Round 12. There's only four teams on the buy, so I think of all the buy rounds we've had in the history, except for, of course, the Round 9 one that's just passed, this will be the cruisiest, so I'm looking forward to that. And we've got a special guest, Faz, regular of the show, joining back with us this week. Welcome back, mate.
Yeah, thanks a lot. G'day, gents. Good to be here.
In terms of a rundown, we'll mostly be looking at sort of the trade-in targets and mostly looking at premiums that are fresh off the buy and potentially some rookies that you can downgrade to as well. But we'll start with a personal update as we do each week. Faz, why don't you kick us off, mate?
Yeah, sure thing. I'll see if I can kick Dunny's curse that he's put on the guests.
Yep.
I had a 17.36 this week, so a bit difficult to, you know, assess whether that's a good score or not. I just know that my rankings seem to stay fairly steady. I was out at 3,700 before the weekend and came in at 3,150. So a slight bump in the rankings, which is a nice one. I think I ended up with 20 players on the field after Sanderlands was out during the round. And lowest scores were Myers and Scharenberg. They're 46s. I had to stoop that low. Managed to avoid Lloyd and Bolton. And the round was sort of held together with Big Dusty Martin's 165. That's always handy. Had Danger, as most people would have, as captain. Not too many other huge scores around the ground. So big thanks to those two blokes.
How many premiums did you have on the bench there, Faz?
That about seven, I think, on the bench.
That's not too bad. I don't know sort of what the average would be, but I had six out myself. I think that probably explained why I did a little bit better than you this week. So I scored 18.22, and that could have been a lot better if Sandy potentially played. But we all hate Ross Lyon and extra kick in the guts that it happened to be a Sunday game. So even though I had the cash to swap him to a Pendlebury type, I did not have the pivoting to be able to do so, which was very, very painful. But I'll take an 18.22, which pushed me up back into the top 1,000. So 708th at the moment. And I think I'm looking okay for the next two rounds. So I'm hoping that it wasn't just one good week and that I'm reasonably well spread. So decent start. Mark, how'd you go, mate? I think, did you pip us?
1864.
Nice.
So I think that did. And I've halved my ranking 2 weeks in a row. So went from 5,400 to 2,700 and now down into about 1,300, which is nice. Hopefully some chance of the top 1,000 over the buys. Probably that was my best buy round, though, just looking at the structure of my team. So we'll see how we go. I'm on more of the I love you, Ross Lyon track this week. I traded Sandy to Yo. Yo didn't have a huge game, but kind of felt like Sandy was probably going to miss and wanted to get him out over the buys. So that worked out. Pretty happy when he was laid out on Sunday. Gave me a bit of an advantage, but I had 21 players. So I think I'm probably looking at more like 19 this week. So we'll see how we go.
The top score in our group was Michael's Jakovic FC. He scored 1987, which is a pretty massive score during the buy round. So congratulations to Michael. That seemed to push him up a fair bit. So he's into 1625. So a nice week for Michael.
And we should mention that our good friend Dr. Bones sitting in ninth overall at the moment.
He certainly kept it up over the last few weeks. So that's encouraging signs. Let's hope that after the three rounds of the buy, he's still right up there, mate. All right, as I've mentioned at the top of the show, we're going to talk about trade-in candidates that are fresh off the bye. I think the focus this week should really be about targeting those players because unlike most years, most of you are unlikely to be faced with donuts during a round 12 bye just because there are only four teams playing and they don't seem to be very deep Supercoach teams. There's not a lot of premiums coming out of all four of those teams. So the focus is really on sort of who to trade to and much less on who to trade out, which was much more the focus of last week. Having said that, though, we will start with a couple of injured or suspended players because there's potentially some issues to deal with. So we'll start off with the first one here. This question's from Grant Robson, and he's asking about Sandy. So, Mark, you've traded Sandy out. I've still got him, Faz.
Still got him,
yep. So Grant's asking, with Sandy out for potentially the next 2 weeks, is it worth trading him out? I think if you've already held and Sandy's playing this week, then I think that's kind of a bit of the reason you held on to Sandy. There's probably the secondary reason, or maybe the primary reason, is the fact that if you traded Sandy out last week, like Mark did, it meant copping up the bye this week, whereas by trading out Sandy after round 11 has been played, at least Faz and I and whoever else is out there is actually able to trade to a buy sort of free player. Having said that, if he does play this week, Faz, I assume you'll be keeping?
I think so, yeah. If he's named this week, I'll put my faith in Ross Lyon again and probably come out
looking like... Wasn't he named last week?
Yeah, he was. So I guess we're trusting him once again. For me, I think I've got some other upgrades I'd like to do sort of as a priority at the moment over upgrading Sandilands. And as you've mentioned, this round for a lot of people is a bit of a kinder one in terms of the buy structure. So I know that I think I'll probably only have the one donut on the field if Sandy's missing. So I can probably deal with that, have three hopefully not too bad rookie scores, and then actually have some decent scores filling out most of my 18 this week. So for that reason, I think I'll probably hold on to Sandylands for one more week, just because I like some of the other options better.
Yeah, and I think it is worth noting that this week you won't be as strapped for options if Sandy is out, because instead of playing at the last game of the round, they play at 4:35 on Saturday Arvo. They're actually playing against Brisbane, which means that if he is out, you do have the flexibility of trading in Martin, potentially. Port play on Saturday night, so you could bring in Ryder, buy free. Carlton play Sunday afternoon. They've also had the buy, so you can get Cruiser buy free, and he's in the top three averaging rucks at the moment. So I think it's not as dire as it was last week. Having said that, though, I think all of us would have preferred to trade him out two rounds ago, even though it was good that you did get sort of the points on field this last week, Mark. I think all three of us are having to cop a donut from the player we trade to, whether it was Sandy last week or yourself, Mark, with Yo this week. So a little bit unfortunate, but that's why we hate Ross, and we'll just keep that trend going. It's definitely garners a lot of tweets on social media. So if he is out... If he is out, though, it's a no-brainer. You got to trade him. There's no reason to hold him for another week out.
Look, I think that we're going to know. They're playing in Brisbane. He either gets on the plane or he doesn't.
Move on to potentially who to trade him to. Martin Walsh is asking whether or not Cruiser or Martin is a better or viable side swap for Aaron Sandilands. Obviously open to any other suggestions outside of those two as well. Faz, who are you looking at in terms of a trade-in for Sandy?
Well, just having a look at Cruz's scoring leading up to the bye, some pretty impressive numbers he put up there. In the 4 weeks leading up, he went 127, 104, 121, and 146. So those are absolutely huge numbers. If Cruiser could continue anything like that sort of scoring, he'd be an absolute no-brainer, I think. But I've been burnt with Cruiser in the past, so I won't take the 4 weeks of scoring. I'll probably just base it more on what I've seen over, you know, the bigger part of his career. So I'm a bit scared off Cruiser, and I also don't like Martin for some of the reasons that were mentioned, I think, earlier in the season when I think you blokes were discussing when Gorn went down whether Martin was a good option. There seemed to be some big risks about him that he's only really had, I think, one great premium year, and he's quite old now. So the one that I've really got my eyes on at the moment is Big Max Gorn, who's obviously still not back yet. He's still a few weeks away. He's 1-2 on the injury list at the moment, but I just think that he has the difference in scoring that could really prove to be the difference maker at the end of the year. So for me, I like the DPP swap that you can do if you use Nankervis. I think it's probably what you did last week by the sounds of things, Mark, to get Yo into the team. I like pivoting Sandy somewhere else on the field, chucking Nank into the ruck. I like picking up one of the options that are on in the other lines of the field.
We're only playing 18 players, really. So even if you have a donut in your rucks, it's kind of not the end of the world. So yeah, I like that suggestion, even if you are sort of potentially, you know, having to have a Strenodico on the field for 1 week or whatever. I also agree in the sense that I don't think I would be over-eager in bringing Martin in this week, especially I think the week before the bye, Archie Smith came back in and he scored a 62. So that is a little bit concerning, as it has been for the last couple of seasons, that sort of looming threat of that second ruckman stealing points away from Steph. All right, I think that's enough for the rucks. It sounds like none of us are really considering a ruck option this week. All right. Last question in the injury suspended category is from Robert Bobby Gain. He's asking about Tom Hawkins' suspension for one round, but this is actually in relation to Aaron Black. So is there a chance that Black will be back for round 13 and assist with a bye round there? It's looking like he'll have to trade Aaron Black out. Otherwise, he might be able to trade Parsons out instead. I think there's a decent chance that Black will be back, but because there's a bye in between and because Black has not been in favor for most of the season, I would not really want to take the punt on that. I traded Black out last week, and I'd probably recommend you doing the same if you can find a decent downgrade target, or you can use cash to upgrade. If you're side-swapping to an equally sketch rookie, then I'd say yes, maybe you could take the punt that he'll be back post-byes.
I think the other side to that coin is the fact that Parsons actually looked pretty good on the weekend. I know that he doesn't do a lot and his scoring isn't a lot, but he does bring something to the Cats team that they're not able to get with other players like McCarthy and Parfitt injured. So I think his spot's fairly safe going forward.
Yeah, it certainly looks that way, especially considering his history in the game. It's been quite short and they've been keen to accelerate him. And we've done that in the past with some rookies, and I've thrown question marks out before on players with similarly low experience like Blitzarves and called that wrong. So yeah, I'd say that Parsons he's a decent keep if you don't have to trade him out. Next question here. Again, it's another trade-out question, but he's not actually injured or suspended this week. He's, in fact, playing, but we're talking about a step-ladder player here, and that's why he might still sort of be considered to be traded out this week. So Brendan Moorhue, or Brendan CM6 on Twitter, is asking whether or not to trade out Michael Walters. So he's gone up 130K now and scored pretty well in the meantime, but his break-even's fairly massive now. He scored a 49 in round 10, which put a dampener on things. His break-even's 150, and he already dropped 9K last week. With a 135 cycling out of his price movements and 49 and 81 in there, this kind of does feel like the time to cash in on the step ladder. I think potentially you would have hoped for a little bit more from him, but I think this would be the right time to cut and run. Mark, any thoughts?
100%, mate. You would have hoped for a little bit more, but it's not coming now, so it's time to go.
And I guess that's why these sort of mid-price plays are kind of tough. Even if they do well for a few weeks, all it takes is one poor week to really skew those price movements. And all of a sudden, you know, an absolute brilliant pick has turned out to like a fine pick, but really not amazing. And Walters is one of the few that has turned out to be fine. The rest have turned out bad. Very few turned out great. Hopefully Scooter Selwood can do a little bit different, but there's still the distinct chance that the same thing happens with him as well. And I think we'd take a similarly hardline approach there. All right, let's talk about trade-in targets now. We'll start off with rookies. This first question here is from Dottie on Twitter. Schoenberg v. Ryan. One is cheaper, but one has the line factor. The other has better job security, but is 60K more. I think they're relevant comparisons just because they both are round 13 backline buy players. But for me, it's kind of a no-brainer because Ryan doesn't go up in price until after the bye, so there's no real need to trade him in with only one game to play. But I guess if you're only going to trade in one bye rookie moving forward and you are strapped for cash for upgrading, that'd probably be the only reason I'd pass on Schoenberg.
I think some people are looking at maybe keeping Tom Stewart given his recent form, and that means they're only looking for one backline downgrade, which is probably where this question comes from, that they're looking to just take one. Personally, I'm very much looking to take both of these guys. I brought in Schoenberg last week, and his scoring certainly hasn't set the world on fire. I expect that he'll get better with time. I mean, you look at Vickers, Willis and Stewart and their early games, they weren't scoring very well either. So I think he will get better when given some time. Collingwood's injury list is pretty deep at the moment, so I think his spot should be fairly safe. Look, I'm looking to probably bring in Luke Ryan maybe after the buys, or maybe even round 13 just to generate some cash.
Yeah, I'm in a bit of a similar boat to Mark in that I'm probably looking at being both an owner of Ryan and Schoenberg. if you had to pick between the two of them, I think Schaumburg would be my take, even though he comes at a significant cost. I think that come later in the season, if you know, everything's going pretty well right now, but if 5 weeks down the track there's a big hit of injuries or a few players are suspended at the same time, I think Schaumburg's the one that we all think will still be in Collingwood's team. They used a pretty high draft pick on him. I think he's a first rounder, so they'll be just trying to get games into him, I'd imagine. They're looking a bit better as a team, so it may be that they're in the finals hunt and things later in the year, but I think that if that's happened off youth, they won't straight away turn around and go back to the senior players. I think he plays every game for the rest of the season, bar injury or anything untoward. So that job security, even though right now it might seem like you have to take a bit of a hit on who you can upgrade to or something like that, I think the price you pay now will be worth it in the end.
I think it's a niche scenario where you need Ryan in this week over Schaumburg. If you are on the fence and you only can bring in one, then potentially wait until after the buys and take Ryan. But if you need the scoring this week, I think I'd go Schaumburg. And obviously your upgrades are going to make this decision for you. I don't know if I'm necessarily strong on one versus the other. I think it's very situational. And how many games are they realistically going to play for you? Next question is from Grant Robson, or at grobson86 on Twitter. Is Cousins a good option? And there's another Hawthorn bloke also on the bubble, Dallas Wilmore. I think these players would be a fairly fringe in situations depending on team structure, but do you know much about either the players to give some commentary, Mark?
See, I think that this is just where myself and you are just disagreed a little bit last week, that we're just at completely different stages with our teams and a different approaches to round 11 and 12, because I know that you were sort of downgrading everything last week. Cousins definitely has been on my radar since he was named, and I think he will be in a lot of teams after this week. And there's a really good reason for that. 6 tackles in each of his games. Hasn't probably got quite as much of the ball as you might have liked, but kicking has been pretty good, and I think he's scored sort of 60s in both games, and he's only 102,000. So my thoughts on getting a round 13 rookie are basically that, say it's the difference between me having 18 and 19 players in round 13, that's probably only going to be 20 or 30 points, and I'd rather get my team structured right for the rest of the season than worry about 20 or 30 points in round 13. Even if it's sort of the difference between 18 and 17 players, that's only really 60 points. And I think just focusing too heavily on this 3-week period can cause you some trouble, and you want to think about what your bench is going to look like. And Cousins at this stage is someone that I'm definitely keen to have in my team.
Yeah, I still think I'd try my best to trade in a buy-free player this week, even if one's sort of debuting this week, over bringing in a player that has the buy. And I know that, Mark, you talk about not sort of compromising your second half of the year team too much due to the buys, but the same logic that you were sort of saying, that Cousins won't really impact your score in round 13 to a huge degree, I think the same can be said about sort of Cousins' impact on your team for the 12 rounds after that. I just don't see the inclusion of Cousins as make or break. So while he is a good downgrade option, I would try and get one buy free.
I guess maybe I'm a little bit sketchy on the fact that we've done that in the past, and we've had some pretty injury heavy second half of the years in the last few years, which has meant that we've really been exposed to our bench rookies quite a lot. I think that a lot of us have picked up rookies during the buys that we wouldn't have taken otherwise, and that has really left us quite exposed later in the season.
All right, this last question is from BKB, or at GG Hippo. Is Will Brody a viable rookie option? Buy free, but pricey are the two hashtags. He's 175,000, of course, buy free because he's playing for Gold Coast, but his 2 rounds that he's played so far, 32 and 32. Now, I mean, this is a bloke where I'd say if your decision is between trading in Will Brody or Cousins, like, take the cheaper bloke who seems to have decent job security rather than taking a punt on a bloke that costs more and isn't showing decent scoring at all. That's probably where I stand on Brody. I don't know if that necessarily makes Cousins a brilliant option, but it makes him look better next to a bloke who scored 32. Are you a bit more positive about his potential upside, Mark? Would you take a potential risk there?
Nah, look, I wanted to see a lot more. As soon as they've held him off for so long before coming in, I'd wanted to see him score a lot better. Hasn't done it. Gold Coast maybe have a couple of players to come back or that are fighting for a similar spot, so no for me. And I guess that not everyone downgraded a few times last week, so if you're looking for cash this week, then that's why the Cousins Schaumburg players become so important, because there's not really much else out there.
I think a few supercatchers out there be hoping for some debutantes.
Yeah, we apart from Ryan last weekend, I think he was the only one. So we really are in a bit of a dead spot for rookies right now.
Which is kind of why we did recommend sort of trying to cash in, you know, stock up on cash last week. It's not end of the world this week if you haven't, but definitely a little bit tougher. All right, on to the premium trade-ins now. So to the fun stuff, talking about potential and high scorers and that. We'll start off with this question from Shannon Swan. Are Bont and Rocky top of the shopping list this week? I think when I look at the players off the bye, there are four players that to me are absolute locks. If you don't have them already, Dalhouse McRae, which most people have. Doherty, who scores like a midfielder, but who's in the back line, has shown that he can do it one season already, and he's kept it up for this half season. And Rockliffe would be the other one, shown a potential to go 120 plus, and has already started the season off that way. So Rocky to me is right up there. I know that's going to come with some bias because Mark and I both have him and we've loved having him so far. So yes, take it with a grain of salt because we're very happy owners. Faz, thoughts on Rocky?
I have to agree with everything you've just said there. When you listed those four players that are the must-have players, I think it might explain a bit of why my ranking's a bit higher than your two fellas, is that I don't have either Rockliffe or Doherty, and they are definitely earmarked to come straight into my team this week. I think the rest will do Rockliffe well. He should have, you know, an even stronger finish to the season, which is, you know, hard to say with some of the scores he's already put up this year. But that bit of a rest in the middle of the year, I think, can be pretty great for the bodies just to come back feeling refreshed. And yeah, he's just shown that absolute ceiling of his scoring that you really are punished for not having Rockliffe when he goes and pulls a 170. And he'd be one of those players that if he's playing early in the round, everyone that has him has the V sitting on him. So you haven't just been punished once. You've probably been hit twice in that regard.
You know, that word punished, that's exactly the reason Mark and I brought him in, is that we're trying to pick guys that if they really went off, yeah, they can really punish you. So I think, Mark, you'd probably be in agreement that Rocky's a fair lock.
Not totally convinced that he's a lock just because of his injury. Like, he's had a shoulder injury. He'll be coming back after 3 weeks, which is actually pretty quick. There'd have to be some concerns around that, but he is a pretty tough bloke, so hopefully everything's fine, and definitely be hoping everything's fine. Just still have a little bit of concerns there.
Sorry. Bont's just come off 99, 81, and 88, which, although those aren't great stats to be bringing him in on, that has definitely helped his price tag. So he's dropped now 30K from his actual starting price tag, and at 550, seems like a fair bargain. Still a 160 break even, but last year he really finished the season off strong, and if he sort of takes his game to the next level by stepping up again in the second half, there could be some big scores there, and you could potentially say, well, maybe he might knock Rockliffe off in terms of scoring for the second half.
Yeah, I think for the last couple of years he's actually come home pretty strong with his scoring. The thing that really worries me about Bont is that he seems to be playing basically as a centre-half forward, and like almost all of the match, not really playing that much in the midfield, and really relying on those effective kicks inside 50s and kicking straight for goal to get his points up. But I don't think you want to underestimate Bond. He showed himself to be what we thought maybe was a must-have earlier in the year. He is a very strong chance of coming into my side this week. For me, it's really Bontempelli versus JPK, and I think with Sydney out of contention, I'm liking Bontempelli.
I'm definitely liking Bont as well. He's earmarked to come in over Scotty Pendlebury for me. It works buy-wise, and I only have one last slot. So that was a very tough decision, and is still a very tough decision to make, but that's how much I rate Bont. I probably will pick him off ahead of Scotty P. How about Zorko, fellas? 560,000. We got a little bit of love for the Zork from Live the Dream or Jack earlier on in the preseason. 560,000 in less than 8,000 teams, which is of note. Averaging 110 so far this season. I don't know if he has that 115 potential in him, but I mean, even at 110 as a POD, that's really not awful.
I think I prefer Paddy Cripps as an alternative for about 560,000. Paddy Cripps just came home so strongly last season that I wonder whether he can do it again and average sort of that 115, 120 on the way home. What do you reckon?
Yeah, I think he's a good suggestion there. And we did get some questions about him. I think the other thing that's encouraging is he had a limited preseason. So to average 100 off a limited preseason playing for Carlton, and then knowing the way that he continues to improve. And I mean, this bloke's a gun. Like, apart from round one, his lowest two scores are 77 and 97 off a limited preseason playing for Carlton. Doesn't need outside ball to score points, like wins it on the inside. So yeah, you think if I was going to take a punt between the two, I'd take a punt on a player which has a little bit more unknown with Cripps, because that comes with some more inherent potential upside than Zorko, who's a little bit more of a known. Next question is from Daniel Maserati, or at Daniel Massa 8 on Twitter, asking us to compare Tommy Lynch versus Mitch Wallace. So Tom Lynch is an absolute just no-brainer for me. He's 433,000, and before his night at 29, he was averaging, you know, close to 100. And I think that as long as he can have a big 160 to help prop up potentially one or two more poor scores, he can easily average 95 to 105 on the run home. This bloke is touted as the best forward in the game at the moment, and I don't really think that that's very far off considering how well he's doing playing for Gold Coast. So to me, he seems like a no-brainer, and Wallace has a little bit more risk. Still would consider him, but Lynch a no-brainer for me, and he's straight in my team. Faz, thoughts on Lynch?
I sure hope that you're right, because I've had Lynch all year, so got to ride the highs with the big 160 and also the 29.
Yeah.
when I think Parsons would have been a better bet on field. Yeah, I just really like his upside. Hopefully the 29's more of a bit of an aberration, and yeah, because the other low scores don't even look too bad. There is a 43 sitting in there, but beyond that, I think his lowest score is sort of 87, 88, around that level. So if he can sort of keep the scores ticking away at that level, and then have the odd game where he, you know, kicks five or six and scores big, then I'll be more than happy.
Mark, is Lynch in for you this week?
He's not, but because I'm sort of full up in that area of the ground, but I do think he is a pretty decent Sandy replacement.
How about Mitch Wallace? Would you consider him at all? I know that I've burnt to you on him as a mid-pricer previously, and he's 473,000 this year, so even more expensive, but as an upside, available on the forward line. 132 and 89 his first two.
And I think that is the big factor, the fact he's available in the forward line. That mitigates the risk a little bit, and under 500,000, he doesn't have to average over 100. If he sort of averaged 90 to 95, it'd be okay. Anything above that would be pretty good. I'm really just concerned about what happens when Libba comes back. A lot of Wallace's possessions have been first possessions around the soft stoppages, a lot of free kicks around stoppages. So I wonder whether once Libba comes back, whether that affects him. Yeah, I prefer McRae or Dalhouse if you don't have them. And I think Lynch is probably a safer pick at that 430,000.
Yeah, I think even though Wallace looks like a bargain and he could work out for his price tag, there's just too much risk involved. If you're at this stage of the season and your team still very light on in terms of premiums, then maybe you'd consider Wallace as a cheap upgrade if you already had Lynch. But if you didn't have Lynch, Lynch seems like an easy in over Wallace. I don't know how many people are trading in 2 4-line players this week. And overall, I think there's no need to seek out value so aggressively. If you took Hibbard for 400,000 a few weeks ago, that's a little bit of value there. If you're taking Lynch this week, there's a little bit of value there. Lloyd scored 4 before the bye, Jake Lloyd for Sydney. So in 2 weeks' time, that bloke's going to be worth 400K as well, potentially less. So I just don't see the need to line up for Wallace's value. So I'm a hard pass on him unless he particularly fits your buy structure or whatever. Alrighty, so that wraps up this week's show. Let's go to a captain's corner before we finish up the show. So, as was the case last week, you have plenty of options to choose from in terms of V and C, just because you've got the flexibility of buy players to loophole with. So you should be able to pick from anyone. Mark, have you had a little bit of a think about who you might go with?
Thinking if I bring in Bont, he may be someone I consider against the Swans as a vice, or I think that Rocky or Beams would be pretty good options. And looking at maybe Treloar as the captain on the Monday. I know that Treloar has had a few down games this year, but his last month has been pretty good.
Faz?
Yep, if Rockliffe comes in, I think he'll be getting the V for me. And then I've got Pendles on Monday for the big Queen's birthday game. Hopefully he shows up for the big occasion.
I'd be tempted by Lynch potentially against Hawthorn. I don't know how good they are at covering tall forwards at the moment as a potential VC. Otherwise, Tommy Mitchell in that same game has been uber consistent and be a worthwhile consideration. Tommy Rockliffe potentially as well. Okay, that's it for this week's show. We are going to record a bonus 15 minutes for our patrons. That's going to look at a little bit more of the premiums that are off the buy that we haven't sort of covered. So Dan Hanabry, for example, or Mark Murphy. We'll go into those players in a little bit more depth. So if you are subscribed to Patreon, don't forget to jump on patreon.com/supercoachcoach to get your bonus episode. Otherwise, to all our listeners, thanks for joining us again this week. Really appreciate your time. And hopefully this episode serves you well. We'll be 2 out of 3 done. And fortunately, this is the cruisiest bye week we've ever faced. So hopefully it shouldn't be causing too much dramas. Faz, do you have anything to leave our listeners with?
Yeah, I'm just looking forward to a bit more footy on the weekend this week. We've got I've just had a look at the schedule. We've got one Sunday game again, so they've stewed us once more.
Bloody Thursday
games. Yeah, I'm really not a fan of these Thursday games during the bye rounds. I'm not opposed to Thursday night football in principle, but why do it when we're spread so thin? So
yeah.
I'll just leave everyone with my little rant about that.
Totally agree with Faz, mate. I don't understand how, like, everyone that I speak to seems to be against spreading out the games across the bye rounds, yet the AFL keep doing it every year. So one game on the Sunday, might have to go spend some time with the family.
Anyway, have a good long weekend, everyone, and we'll catch you hopefully after some good news after a very, very elongated round, Thursday to Monday. So good luck, and we'll see you next week. Bye.
Yeah, I'll be Ross Lyon. Don't want this get crazy.